to the book of Exodus. We thank those who have rendered devotion thus far. And we hope, trust, and pray that if you do not share our faith, that you might ask that question, what must I do to be saved? Exodus chapter 13, if you're there, say amen. For emphasis' sake, we will again read verse 17 and conclude at verse number 20. The Bible says, "And it came to pass
when Pharaoh let the people go,
when Pharaoh had let the people go,
that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines,
that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines,
although that was near,
although that was near.
For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war,
lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness." Is that in your Bibles? I'd like to use as a subject this morning the paths we must take. The paths that we must take. Beloved, our experiences in life can be rather interesting, wouldn't you say? Especially when we submit to God's will. And when you surrender to God, you will discover that God will lead you some places you didn't think you would go. When you surrender to God and submit to God, you will discover that there are some places you wanted to go that God will not allow you to go to. And sometimes we find ourselves in awe of the marvelous blessings that God allows us to enjoy. Yet there are some moments when our faith is challenged and that we do not always understand the mind of God. There are times we know where God is leading us, but we cannot understand the path that He uses to get us there. There are other times we know a little something about the path, but we have no idea where it leads. And so as we gather this morning, we want to understand something about submitting to God and the paths that He sometimes puts us on. I need us to recognize that we make plans and we choose paths to reach those plans only to discover that human thinking is insufficient to godly thinking. If you've made plans this morning and God is not included in your plans, you need to scrap your plans and recognize that without God, your plans are null and void. Long before the advent of time, the Almighty God had already determined our existence. God knew what paths He wanted us on before we were ever born. Certainly, there are times when our experiences result from our own will, our election of moral choice. But God's plans are not going to be messed up by human interference. I want to share with you three types of paths this morning. The first path is the desired path. The second is the designated path. And thirdly, I want you to take the dare to travel your path. If we might look at the text this morning and keep your Bibles open, I don't want you to say, Brother Gibbs said, I want you to say, the Bible said. If you look at verse number 17, let's deal first with the concept of the desired path. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Is that in your Bibles? When Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Y'all see that? Let me help us this morning. I need you to recognize that the land of the Philistines, according to the text, and if you ever get a map and look at the geography of the land, you will discover that that path was a short path. It was a shorter distance to the promised land that way than the way that God sent them. Now, here's what I need you to understand in all of this. Shortcuts are not always good. And how many times do we get ourselves in trouble by trying to take some shortcuts? How many times do we find ourselves in frustration? And how many times do we find ourselves stressed out? Because we desire something quick. We desire something fast. We desire something easy. But shortcuts are not always the best paths to go. In my ministry, I have had the privilege of teaching in the prison system. And I have met many of young men who had talent, who had the potential to be doctors and lawyers and scientists, who could do wonderful things, dealing with 30, 40, and 50-year prison sentences because they didn't want to go to school. They didn't want to work their way up in the company. They wanted to get money quick, fast, and in a hurry. And what they've discovered is that shortcuts are not always the quickest path to success. One of the questions we must ask is, why is it the shortcut is not always good? You see, Israel did not get to take the shorter path. And the reason God did not allow them to take this path is because when God puts you on a path, you have to understand that He sees the past, the present, and the future at the same time. He sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow at the same time. And because God can see yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and we only see today, God knows what path to put us on and what path is dangerous, because He can see what we can't see. Now, understand that not only can God see in time, past, present, and future, but God knows us. And because God knows us, He knows our limits. You do know you have limits, don't you? I don't think Superman or Superwoman is here today. You've got limits. And God knows your limits. He knows your ability. He knows your strength. God knows what you can do, and He knows what you cannot do. You see, when you look at your life and you wonder why God does not allow you to do some of the things you desire, It's because you ain't as strong as you think you are. You see, God knows what we can handle. And what I have discovered about many Christians is we think we're strong in areas we ain't been tested. You see, if you want a testimony, you've got to have a test. And if you don't have a test, all you've got is a moment. In order to have the testimony, you've got to have the test. And a lot of times, as children of God, we're not always interested in being tested. But the reason the test is a blessing is because the test will show you where you shine, and it will show you where you don't shine. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Y'all don't mind if we let the Bible speak, do you? In 2 Peter chapter 1, when you get there, say amen. And then we're going to 1 Peter chapter 1, but I want you to first look in 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting at verse number 3, the Bible says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness." I want y'all to say right now, we've got all things. Everything you need, you've got right now. Pertaining unto life and godliness. Now, you may not have a fancy car, a big house, and a lot of money in the bank, but you have all things pertaining to life and godliness. The Bible says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness what? Charity. What does this mean? What the Bible is saying is that God is more interested in building your character than he is building your arsenal of material blessings. What this is saying is that God will put you on paths in life that will help you to become a better child of God. Somebody said, we were made in the image and likeness of God. Yes, we were, but sin stained the image. Sin messed up and marred the image. And so God is in the business of remaking us, reshaping us, reforming us, and restoring us to the place that was lost as a result of sin. So sometimes people come to church and say, "Y'all pray for me. I'm having trouble on my job. I need y'all to pray for my job. I'm having trouble with someone. I need y'all to pray for my enemies. I'm having trouble here. I'm having trouble there." And we ask God to bless and deal with other folk in those situations. And what we do not realize is that it's God who allows those situations, because he's not so much trying to work on them. He's trying to work on us. You see, if I'm praying for more patience, I can't get more patience unless my patience gets tried. If I'm praying that my faith might be increased, I can't get more faith until my faith has been challenged. So sometimes God does not allow me to take a shortcut, because on the shortcut, I can't get what he's got for me. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, If you will meet me at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Is that in the text? When was the last time you asked God for Him to be blessed? Peter says, "Bless God." A lot of times we're asking God to bless us. Peter said, every now and then we all just say, "Bless God." So he starts, he says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Don't you know that those in sin, those who have not been baptized for the remission of sins, are the walking dead? He says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Notice verse number 5, "who are kept by the power of God." That word "kept" there, it has reference to a military garrison. It has reference to a military coming into a city, and in that city, protecting the city from the attack of an enemy. I need you to understand that even though God will send you on the path of a Red Sea, even though there is some danger around you, even though things are not always favorable in your life, I need you to hold to God's unchanging hand. Don't let go of God, and He sure enough won't let go of you. You see, we look at life and we think we've got all the answers. We desire things that God knows better. The things we desire doesn't work for us. Proverbs 14, verse number 12. Surely you've read the verse before. But there may be someone here today that have never read what thus saith the Lord. And I want to let the Bible speak. I tell my members at home, when I quote a scripture, I want you to look it up. I want you to be in the habit of being able to find the Bible and read it word for yourself. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way. Y'all see that? There is a way. It seems right. It feels right. It looks right. It's something about this way in human thinking. But the Bible says the end are the ways of death. In other words, if I don't submit and yield to God, what appears glamorous to me today can destroy me on tomorrow. And that's why I have to understand that even though I desire a certain path, it's not what I want, but God's will be done. So if we cannot go the desired path, what is the designated path? I need everybody here this morning to recognize God has already mapped out a path for your life. I need you to recognize that before you were born, God had already figured you out. Before your mama and daddy got together to create you, God already knew you. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God had long ago summons Jeremiah, and he says something interesting in Jeremiah chapter 1. When you get there, I want you to smile and say amen. Now notice, I didn't just say amen. I said smile. You know, I believe children of God ought to smile when we come to worship. I believe we ought to be happy about serving the God who has sustained us and blessed us. Now you go out into the world and folk have no hope and they just as giddy and happy as can be. You come to the Lord's house and sometimes we look like God ain't been good to us. If you don't think God has been good, try waking up on your own. If you don't believe God has been good, miss a few blessings. And you will see how good God has been. Do you understand that worship is a celebration? We are celebrating the goodness, the greatness of God. And when you come to a celebration, you don't come to a celebration looking down. So I want you to get to Jeremiah chapter 1, and I want you to smile and say amen when you get there. In Jeremiah chapter 1, I just want to show you something, because this is not only applicable to Jeremiah, this is applicable to each and every person here this morning. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," what did he say? He says, "Before," everybody say before, "before I formed thee in the belly, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee." Is that in your Bibles? God says, "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." In other words, before conception, Jeremiah had already been conceived in the mind of God. Before you and I were ever a why or a why not, God already had in mind a purpose and a plan for your life. And let me tell you, just because you show up on Sunday doesn't mean that you fulfill the purpose of God. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to be asking yourself, what did God wake me up for today? What good can I do today? How can God get glorified? What can I do to spread the gospel, to win a soul, to encourage somebody who's down? How can God get glory out of my day? And when you get ready to lay head to pillow at night, you need to be able to ask yourself, did God get a return on his investment? Was it worth it to give me today? Look at, in Exodus, the designated path. In verse 17, we were told that God didn't send them on the shortcut. Is that right? Ain't no shortcuts in life. Cheating, beating the system, schemes and scams, easy life, ain't no shortcuts. Only thing a shortcut does is get you to the other end in a hurry. In Exodus, in verse 18, the Bible says something profound here. The Bible says, "But God led the people about through the wilderness." I need y'all to see this. I want you to underline the word "through." Highlight the word "through." This is going to bless you if you let the Lord bless you this morning. I have never met you before, but I know one thing about this church. Even though I've never met you, I know one thing I can be sure of. Somebody here is going through something. Somebody here right now, you are stressed out about something in your life. Right now, somebody here, you are troubled to your soul, to the core of who you are. It might be marital problems. It might be problems with your kids. It might be problems with your health. It might be the health of a loved one. It may be your job. It may be your finances. It might be you about to get evicted. Whatever it is, somebody here is going through something. Now, if y'all ain't got no problems, let me know and I'll fly home in the morning. If some kind of way y'all have just figured out in Jamaica how to be problem free, let me know. Because I need to go talk to somebody that's in the wilderness. But if you know something about problems, if you can hang your hat on heartache, I need you to notice that word through. The reason I want you to notice the word through, let's understand what the Bible did not say. Y'all don't mind? The Bible did not say that God led them to the wilderness. The Bible says God led them through the wilderness. What are you getting at, preacher? The wilderness was only a temporary experience. The wilderness was not the final destination. The wilderness was just a stop on to what God had for them. I need you to recognize this morning that if you are in the wilderness, I need you to hang your hat on some hope and to trust that God did not lead you to the wilderness. He's leading you through the wilderness. In other words, whatever your frustration is, God doesn't want you to stay at frustration. Whatever your heartache and your headache, God only wants you to go through it. And what happens for us is that we get frustrated and aggravated, irritated, and we say, why me? Anybody ever ask that question? Let me show you why you. If you ask, I'm going to answer. Now, people say, well, why not? And I would suggest why not is not a good answer. Because God doesn't do anything arbitrarily. He doesn't do anything because he's sitting in heaven bored. It's not like he treats us like a mouse in the maze and puts the cheese at the other end and sits in heaven and says, well, let me see if they can figure it out. That's not how God works. Everything that God does is intentional. Everything that God does is by his divine counsel. Everything that God does, he has a purpose and a plan. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to show you something that might be a surprise to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to just look at a verse or two, and I want to show you God has a plan for everything he does. In verse number 1, if you're there, smile and say amen. Don't just say amen, smile. The Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Now, you can't arbitrarily pick what you want to do and pick what you don't want to do. He says, all the commandments, he says, that ye may live and multiply. Can we stop right there? People say church folk can't enjoy life. But the Bible says what God tells you to do is so you can enjoy life. He says, I want you to live. I want you to multiply. All you've got to do is do what I say do, and he will bless you to prosper in life. Now, prosperity does not have to mean money or materialism. Prosperity means God will just bring some good things to pass in your life. Now, reading on, he says, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2. Now, I want you to notice verse 2. It says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why did he lead them through the wilderness? I'm going to show you something. The promised land was not the only blessing for Israel. The wilderness was as much a blessing as the promised land. You see, you can't appreciate the promised land until you've gone through a wilderness. You're not ready for the promised land until you've gone through the wilderness. You see, the wilderness is a classroom where God teaches you something that you can't get if you don't go through God's class. The Bible says in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 8, "And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." He says, number one, to humble you. And to prove thee. To know what was in thine heart. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee. And suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither didst thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that the man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord of man live. God says, I didn't just lead them through the wilderness for nothing. He says, I led them through the wilderness, because it was in the wilderness, on that designated path where God says, I can teach you something there you can't get unless you go there. If you're in the wilderness today, I need you to hang on and don't give up on God. Because when you think God is not hearing your prayers, when you think God is ignoring you, when you think God is too busy, when you think that your prayers are falling on deaf ears, I need you to understand that God is doing something you don't even know what he's doing. And when you come through this, you'll be able to look back and appreciate what God has done, because you'll know what God has brought you through. Do you understand that if you only have sunshine, if you never have a wilderness, if you never have any heartache, and if you never have any headache, then you will never appreciate God. Because you'll start to think it's because of you. You'll start to think it is because you're so bright. You'll start to think it's because of who you know and who you're playing golf with and who knows your name. And it's not about you. It's all about God. See, the promised land is not the only blessing for Israel. It was the path they take to get there. That was just as much of a blessing. You see, in the wilderness, they learned to trust God. In the wilderness, they learned to examine themselves. In the wilderness, they learned to not depend on material stuff and to learn to depend on God's spiritual providence. It was in the wilderness that they learned to develop character. It was in the wilderness that they learned to develop virtue. It is in the wilderness that you learn to get strength. It is in the wilderness that they learn how to be what God wanted them to be. I want to tell you, if you're in the wilderness today, if you're going through something, don't give up. Don't fall out with God. That is your time to get closer to God. And every now and then we get people who stop coming to church. And we ask, you know, why is it that you have been delinquent in the services? And they'll say, well, preacher, I've been going through something. And I had to spend some time getting me together. Now, I know folk in Jamaica don't talk like that. But they say, well, you know, when I get right, I'll come back to church. And I tell folk all the time, number one, you can't get right by yourself. I don't care how many degrees you got on the wall. Education can't solve every problem. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. You can't write a check to deal with all the problems of life. I don't care who you know and who knows you. Influence can't help you in some things. The second thing I have to remind folk is that when you go through stuff, that's not a time to get away from God. That's a time to get closer to God. Now I need us to recognize that in those experiences, when we ask the church to pray for us in the experience, what we need to do is ask the church to pray that God can use the experience to bring about His will for our lives. You see, sometimes God doesn't want a mountain moved in your life. God can easily remove a mountain, but you gain some strength through the struggle to climb that mountain. So what you need to ask yourself is, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And sometimes people say, well, Brother Gibbs, it seems like I keep going through the same thing over and over and over again. And I tell folks, the only reason why you keep repeating a class is because you have demonstrated to the teacher that you're not ready to advance to the next level. And so the teacher holds you back and say that you have not learned the fundamental skills of this grade level to be promoted to the next grade level. So if you keep flunking the class and you keep repeating the class over and over again, and God, who is the master teacher, keeps holding you back, it is obviously you ain't learned what you need to learn in order for Him to move you forward. See, some stuff you want in your life, you ain't ready for. Amen. There's some stuff in your life you're just not ready for. And God uses this classroom to teach us what He wants us to be. And finally, not only was there a desired path, the shortcut, God had designated a path. And so I want to finally share the thought of you take the dare to travel your path. I want you to look at verse number 20 of the text. I told you, keep your Bibles handy. The Bible says, and they took their journey. Y'all see that? They took their journey. You and I, we got to take our own journey. One of the things that problem-plagued people discover is that sometimes we want what's on the other side of the journey, but we don't want to begin the journey. Confucius said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. The other problem that I know folk in Jamaica don't struggle with, but sometimes I find that members are experts in understanding somebody else's journey. Now, I know y'all don't know nothing about that. I know y'all don't struggle with that down here, but sometimes folk are so busy figuring out what sister so-and-so should be doing, what brother so-and-so should be doing, where somebody, and don't have a clue about their own life. They've got answers for everybody else, but they have no answers for themselves. God has mapped out a course for you. We cannot be so consumed with others and what they should be doing and how they should be acting and talking and walking, and we stand in bewilderment of our own journey. How easy it is to tell someone else what they should be doing. How easy it is to tell someone else how they should be responding to life. Yet we are called to examine ourselves. And I want to tell you that in examining yourself, James says, for what is your life? Y'all have read that before. He says, it is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What does that mean? Number one, that means life is short. Number two, what that means is you don't get no do-overs. It's not like you can do this all over again. This is the only life you get. And because it's not long, you don't have time to play with God, and you don't have time to play with your life. In verse number 18 of the text, the Bible says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. That word harnessed there, it means they left in military formation. I want you to notice in Israel's experiences, as long as they obey God, God blessed them to deal with enemies. He blessed their land. As long as they were in military formation, God led them through and to. But if you are a student of the scriptures, you understand this was not the last time Israel had been in bondage. You understand that they got to the promised land and subsequently kept going back into bondage. And the reason is because as long as they were oppressed, they didn't have a problem worshiping. But the minute they got a little something, they seemed to have forgotten about God. And so God would bless them. They would forget him. He'd take away their blessings. They would praise him. Does that sound familiar? They left harness. They left in military formation. They left discipline. Do you know you cannot be a disciple of Christ without discipline? Amen. John 10 talks about sheep and the shepherd relationship. And John 10 says that the sheep will only listen to the voice of the shepherd. What is he talking about? In Palestine, when shepherds would lead their sheep, they would find a place to rest. And while they would find a place to rest, they would share a fold with other shepherds. And when the shepherd got ready to get up and continue on their journey, the shepherd would call his sheep. And those sheep would only respond to their shepherd. Even though there were some other shepherds around, they would only respond to the voice of their shepherd. And they would follow that shepherd. Because they understood that the shepherd gave them provision. And the shepherd gave them protection. And so it would be foolish on their part to ignore their shepherd, because that was their protection and their provision. I want to say to those who are members of the body of Christ that the only authority we have is the Word of God. And if you want to be pleasing to God and want the provision of God and the protection of God, you need to stay in military formation and only respond to the voice of the shepherd. I had a privilege in November. One of our members went to the U.S. Marines, and we went to his graduation ceremony. And there was 498 Marines who had graduated, and there were thousands of parents and family members standing around in the bleachers and sitting in the bleachers prepared to look at our loved ones graduate. And they stood there in military formation. And while they were there, there were people calling out their kids' names and saying Pookie and Ray Ray and whatever they called them. And they didn't so much as bat an eye. They just stood there. And even though all of these people were calling their names and screaming their names, they never said a word. They never moved. Thousands of people calling them. No one moved. The commanding officer, one man, said, "United States Marines." And I looked at that. I said, "How is it thousands of people are calling their names and no one moves? One man gets the PA system. Everybody moves in formation." It's because they understood which voice to obey.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I want to tell you, you got to know what voice to obey.
Amen.
If you're not a member of the body of Christ, there's thousands of voices calling your name. There are thousands of people. Just when I got in yesterday, I turned on the television and I heard some stuff on the television that to me they ought not allow on television because they lying on God. Preachers telling folk to come up, let me touch you and heal you. Folks spreading all kind of lies. And the problem is, folk don't know what the Bible says. And they say knowledge is power, but ignorance is power. Because when you're ignorant, folk are able to render power over you. And so that's why we believe in the Church of Christ, to let the Bible speak.
Amen. Amen.
This is the ultimate authority. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
And there are thousands that are calling you, but I'm asking you to listen to the gospel call.
Amen. Amen.
How do you come to God? You come by hearing the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. Repent. The word repent is a military word, and it means to do an about face and go in a different direction. Sometimes people try to be technical and they say, "Brother Gibbs, I'm going to do a 360. And I tell folk, don't do a 360. Because if you understand anything about geometry, a 360 is a complete circle. If you do a 360, you're right back where you started. Repentance says you don't want to be where you started. You want to go in a different direction. You confess the sweetest name ever presented on mortal tongue and be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Brother Gibbs, do I have to get baptized? John 3. Unless you are born again.
Amen. Amen.
Now some churches teach that come by letter, come by Christian experience. I even worked with a lady once who was sharing with me. She brought to me an application packet. And at her particular church, she had to fill out an application. She had to attach her tax returns. And the deacon board would meet and discover or determine whether or not she was suitable to be a member of the church. And based on her tax return, they would tell her how much money she had to put in church. I want you to know that there has been a vote taken about your salvation. You got three votes that are really wrapped up in the one. Now, I'm not the best at math, but one plus one plus one is equal one. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one. And in Acts, the Bible talks about the determinate counsel of God. What that means is that God engineered a plan. Jesus executed the plan. The Holy Spirit sealed the plan. And in the determinate counsel of God, no one here has to vote about your baptism.
Amen. Amen.
You see, you got the vote at Calvary.
Right.
When Jesus went to Golgotha's hill, you got voted on.
Amen.
And see, here's the thing. The beauty about this is that what folk can vote you into, they can vote you out of.
Amen.
But since God puts me in the church,
Amen.
It's only God who can take me out. And so if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, the only blood-bought institution on earth,
Amen.
You ought not leave here today with your salvation in question. Jesus can come back at any moment.
Amen.
People are dying every day. And I got news for you. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be old to die. There's political unrest in the entire world. Don't think that because I'm from the States, we've got it so much better. We are just as messed up as anybody else in the world. We've taken God out of schools. We've taken God out of the home. We've taken God out of everything. And the Bible says those nations that do not fear God, they're going to be subject to the wrath and judgment of God. But you don't have to leave here today.
Amen.
You're going to live forever.
Amen.
But will you live eternally with Him?
Amen.
Or will you live eternally in hell?
That's right. That's right.
If you're subject to the invitation, give God your heart. Give us your hand. You can be baptized today.
Amen.
You can be a new creature in Christ. All things passed away. All things have become new. Let us stand and sing.